As many of you know, growing up, I come from a Puerto Rican mother and a mostly American father of Lebanese descent. And the two cultures are very different when it comes to family time. I remember visiting my dad's parents in Kentucky, and it was always a very quiet dinner. Grandma, grandpa, dad, and then us. They had three children themselves, but it was always a very small gathering. There wasn't a lot of conversation, and most of the evening was filled with the noise of our forks and knives clanging off the dishes as we ate our meal. It was quiet. There were few people. The food was good, there was love, but there wasn't a lot of activity. It was simple and demure and low-key. The huge difference came when I visited my mom's family in Puerto Rico. She's one of 10, and we are 27 first cousins. And whenever we had a meal with my mom's family in Puerto Rico, or especially a family reunion in particular, we would be more than 100 people. And you couldn't hear each other talk, not because it was so quiet, but because it was so loud. There was food everywhere. Everybody was talking. There was always more than enough food and drink and conversation and people and kids and a bit of chaos. It was a completely different experience. And you were with family. And being there, every time I go to Puerto Rico, even to this day, I meet, quote, a new cousin. Because in Puerto Rico, whether you're second, third, fourth, 10th cousin or fourth cousin removed, you're a cousin. It's just the same. You may not be the children of my grandparents, grandchildren of my grandparents, but you are a cousin nonetheless. And in that setting, you always felt at home. You were always surrounded by people. You couldn't feel alone. There was always more than enough food. You knew you were loved. You knew you weren't going to go hungry. You knew there was always going to be somebody to talk to, and someone you didn't want to talk to, and somebody you wanted to hang out with, and somebody you wanted to avoid. When the family is that big, you've got everything under the sun, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent. But you belonged. And in particular, my aunt's house was always the place where we would gather, even to this day, for big family reunions or gatherings of any kind. It was always my Aunt Elida's home. And that continues to be the case today. Today, as we celebrate the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, the Church reminds us of this profound theology that is also a mystery of faith, that though we believe in one God and one God alone, God himself is a trinity of persons, a family of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while we'll hear the beautiful theology in the preface prayed in the Mass today, I want to focus on this idea that even though there is one God, he has chosen to reveal himself as a family of persons, and that through baptism, we belong to that family. First, how is God a trinity? Well, we believe that God the Father from all eternity loves the Son. Not like you and I love ice cream, or you and I love sunshine, which we haven't had for a couple of days, but love in the sense of a total, complete, unhindered self-giving to the Son, from without a beginning, without an end. And that the Son reciprocates or responds in kind, giving all of his self back to the Father in this perpetual, eternal exchange of love. And that the love between the two of them is so real, it's called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is God, of the same substance, without beginning or end, but distinct, that God has sent to guide us until Christ returns in glory since his ascension into heaven. So God is a family of persons, this perfect family of complete, total self-giving love. And he has stamped his image into our very bodies as human beings. He created Adam, and then from his rib, he created Eve. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And when Adam gave all of his self without holding anything back, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, and Eve accepted that gift and responded in kind, their love was so real, so profound, so godlike, that a third person came from it, their child. Now, the analogy has limitations because Adam, Eve, and their children have a beginning, unlike God. But that exchange of total self-giving love without any barrier, without any withholding back, creates life. And that's how God is in himself. He made the family to be an icon of himself in the world for the world to see this is what love looks like. Real love, divine love, love that comes from God and is meant to return to God when a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man. In the Christian sense, that love is so real, life happens in abundance. They are your children or our children. And through baptism, we are incorporated back into God's own divine life. And that is so necessary. Why? Because our families, to be honest, whether small or big, whether we're widowed or alone for any reason, does not reflect the perfection of God's own family. Like I said, my family in Puerto Rico is very big, and we have everything under the sun. Mental illness, addiction, sexual identity, confusion, divorce, widowed, orphaned, you name it, we've got it. And our families can be very broken, whether we have experienced divorce or ongoing addiction or mental illness, or we feel completely like we're giving ourselves like Christ on the cross for the good of our family and our spouse is not reciprocating. They're not giving back. Or our kids don't even appreciate it, and they don't give back in the little ways that they could. And we feel frustrated, and we feel hurt, we feel abandoned, we can feel alone. And our family can be at times a constant reminder of all that is broken in our lives, and disappointing, and hurtful, and sad. And we can feel angry, we can feel depressed, we can feel like, I want an exchange for a different family. And that's where this solemnity of the Holy Trinity enters into the picture of our lives. God himself, who is a perfect family, complete in himself, and has no need for us, and does not benefit at all from anything we can give him, says to you and me, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Through baptism. In baptism, we're incorporated into God's family. You are now my son. You are now my daughter. You will never be alone again. You are part of my family. Not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but purely out of God's complete love for us, for our good, for our benefit. Come into my family. You who are widowed, you who are divorced, you who are orphaned, you who are alone, you who are separated from family because of distance or other reasons, come and partake of my family, a complete, total, self-giving communion of love, and be healed. A lot of our wounds come from feeling like we don't belong, or we're not accepted, or we felt rejected or abandoned. And through baptism, and then especially through communion and confession regularly, God tells us, all that I have is yours. And I know you've brought the hurt and brokenness of your family into my family, the Godhead. But I forgive you when you ask. If we don't ask for forgiveness, I guarantee you, you are not forgiven and cannot be saved. But when we ask for forgiveness through the sacrament of confession, God heals the brokenness that we bring into the life of the Trinity, restores us in his love, and allows us to keep walking with him, so that not only will we always have a family, but in that we will always have a home, and we will always have a meal. Like in my aunt's house in Puerto Rico, I always stay there every time I visit since I was a child to this day, and there is always more than enough food. So too, when we're incorporated into God's family through baptism and sustain ourselves in union with him through communion and heal ourselves when we reject that family through sin by confession, every Catholic church in the world is our home. It's like my aunt's house. And every time we attend any Catholic church in the world, on any day of the week, there's always a meal. We never leave hungry. if we receive Jesus worthily in the Eucharist, having confessed our sins. We always know that we're loved. We always know that we belong. We always know that we're never alone. It's in this experience of living in the Father's house that is our own, and being loved by the Father in the gift of himself through his Son in communion, and being forgiven when we want to curl up and hide for shame and guilt through the sacrament of confession, to walk free and renewed and healed again, that our own brokenness in our lives and our families find healing, and we find purpose, and we can live not out of the brokenness of what we've experienced, but out of the love that God has for us as we are, leaving this place affirmed and loved. I remember many years ago when I was in college, I would come home to my parish and help out in the summer camp with 4, 5, 6-year-old children. And back then I was just a college student. I was Mr. Eric to the kids. And as I took over a class of my own in the summer, I only had 2 rules. I told the kids there are only 2 rules. Rule number 1, have fun. Rule number 2, do to other people what you want them to do to you, the golden rule. That was it. It was summer camp. They didn't need any more rules than that. But inevitably, their brokenness and the brokenness of their family would come into the classroom and they would hurt one of their friends. And I would tell them, what are the rules? And they always remember the first one, have fun. Like, well, Susie over there is crying. Do you think she's having fun? No. And why do you think she's crying? What's rule number 2? Do to other people what you do to them, to you. No. Basically, you don't want to do to Susie what you don't want Susie to do to you. Do you want Susie to take away your things? Do you want Susie to call you mean names? No. Well, then you shouldn't do that to her. You need time out. And the kids at that age were so impressionable. They are. They remember everything. They're like sponges at that age, before 5, 6 years old. And I was very aware of that. And I made sure that we always had fun and that they were affirmed and loved. And it was so beautiful to be able to see a kid come with their head down, maybe sad for whatever reason, or tired or lonely or upset, and just tell them how good they are and how wonderful they are and how happy we are to have them in the classroom and how we're going to have fun today and you're home here and we love you. And the kids would just light up with that feedback and skip off ready to follow rule number 1. They were so impressionable. It took so little to love and affirm them and to build them up with the truth. But over time, you and I, through wounds and sin of our own and the sins of others, we become hardened like stone, like this ambo, hard as rock. And we can't accept that love. And we're not as impressionable because we want to protect ourselves and put up walls and barriers lest we be hurt again from our vulnerability. And here, as we come to Mass in the Feast of the Trinity, the Lord is saying, put down the walls, confess your sins, let me love you, let me speak my truth to you so that you might be healed and be filled with life and love and joy and purpose as you leave this place. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn us, but that the world might be saved through him. So believe in God. Believe in him as a trinity of persons, a family of persons, though one God, who has invited and called us into his own family, that we might be loved and healed and be a witness of that family to our own at home and beyond, beginning here in our family parish of Sacred Heart.